some of y'all gonna be mad at us. But hey, everybody got their own opinion on this. Roe v. Wade.
Ooh.
We going in on Roe v. Wade. Yep. Roe v. Wade. We're talking about Roe v. Wade, but we're also talking about a lot of the other things that happened with the overturning of Roe v. Wade from a national level. So, because the Supreme Court made a lot of decisions in 2022, a lot of decisions, and a lot of these decisions affected abortion, affected the Second Amendment, climate change, immigration, COVID and vaccine mandates, Joe Biden versus the state of Missouri, the separation of church and state, school prayer, Guantanamo Bay and state records, the death penalty in religion, public displays of religion, Indian law. Those are the things that were covered with this, guess you can say, I use it for lack of better terms, the banning of abortion, where it's not necessarily a true banning of abortion. Just from a national level, abortion cannot be, abortion is not legal from the national level. Each state has the say whether they want to make abortions legal or not. So it's up to the states now. And of course, a lot of people are in an uproar, and we're going to get into everything that has to do with abortion and all the other things that was rolled up in this bill that were either overturned or supported. So just before we get like deep into it. So Pat and I, we talked about this about a month or so ago, right? When they first started talking about then they want to overturn Roe v. Wade. We looked over some information, gave some opinions on what we feel could happen, could not happen, and the results of everything. So before we get deep into it, just we are here now. We've had that conversation in the past. Roe v. Wade was overturned from the national level. So first thoughts on Roe v. Wade from a standpoint of knowing what we talked about last time and seeing it being overturned from the national level.
You want me to what now?
What are your first thoughts? Just about overall, just over Roe v. Wade from where it is now. A lot.
You know, I kind of think, you know, we still in that space where people are still absorbing it and what it means. A lot of people have gotten very emotional about it, understandably so. But I think the true impact of it isn't going to be seen until the actions of the states that are going to take actions are settled out. Right now, we're still seeing there have been about 12 or 13 states, I believe, that had trigger laws in place that took effect immediately, banning abortion for various different reasons, with some of them have exceptions for rape and incest. Some of them do not, as far as I recall. And then there are about another 12 to 13 states that are anticipated to be passing abortion laws at some point, restricting abortions procedures. So all in all, it looks like it's going to be, we're in a position where half of the states in the country are going to be restricting abortions and the other half are going to have free abortions. And what that's going to mean largely depends on how that shakes out. As far as for the Black community, we know that most of us live in the southern states. So most of us are going to live in states where abortion is restricted. So what that's going to mean for us is still something to be told, whether or not we're going to be able to move to places in order to get necessary abortions. Emphasis on the word necessary. Whether or not, you know, people are going to start getting back alley abortions the same way people were getting back alley body augmentations. You know, and the clothes hanger is now going to become an alternative surgical tool. And you're going to start finding a lot of women bled out for trying to give themselves or having a friend or somebody else that don't know what the hell they doing an abortion. So, like, those are my thoughts. Like, now it's like, All right. And then there also could be another great migration where Black people en masse, those that can afford to, relocate the states where abortions are legal, yeah. Which would change the entire political dynamic of the country, because it would change, if they stay there, it would change the way the census happens in 2030, and it would change the makeup of Congress. That could have potentially huge ramifications on the governance of this country. So there's a lot up in the air.
But even in that great migration, because that's one thought I had of the great migration of Black people migrating from states that ban abortion to states that allow abortion. But all it really takes is a change in political ideology once they go to those states.
Mm-hmm.
And gotcha again. Mm-hmm. You know, so would it be a cat and mouse chase from state to state? Like, we're going to keep moving from state to state, or would it be a better idea to gain some real political power where you are?
Yeah, my personal belief is that Black people need to gain political power. Because moving to another state is expensive and is risky. It's not something that the majority of Black people are even going to be able to do.
Everybody's not going to be able to do that. Now, I know some people probably would try to use the argument of, especially people who are poor, especially poor Black people who are around the poverty level, not being able to move for abortions and not being able to have access to abortions. But from the statistics that I looked at, around 11% of women who are considered poverty, low income, actually are having abortions. It's not a large percent. So most of those women would be having their baby. So those wouldn't be the women who would be in the group of people most likely who would be migrating from state to state either. It'll be more so, I think it'll be more so that age range of what I looked at, from that 20 to 24 age range, who are having the greatest number of abortions. And we're going to get back into that. But just overall, like, my first thoughts, though, about it, though, is I wish, because there are points on each side that I agree with and disagree with. But I do think abortion should be available. Necessary, like you said, necessary abortion should be available, but emphasis on necessary, because I think we should put a lot more attention on, well, if we're going to say pro-choice, we want to talk about giving people choices. Well, let's make sure people are exercising every choice that they have, including every choice on the front end. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not understanding how we're having a conversation and talking about unwanted pregnancies. And people are making it seem as if you have to get pregnant because you had sex. And it's like, well, how can we better reduce the number of unwanted pregnancies, of unplanned pregnancies? Can't we emphasize and teach? Can't adults be a lot more adult and teach the younger people? Well, the adults, first of all, get sexual control over themselves, but then teach the younger people better sexual control. And so just because we have sex don't mean we have to have unprotected sex. And even if we have unprotected sex, don't mean we have to make a baby. Because I'm tired of people telling me what things just happen, as if, and because people like, well, things just happen. I asked them, have you ever had an orgasm? They're like, yes. Like, and you know how you feel that orgasm coming? You feel it, you feel yourself arriving to that point. That's why they call it coming, because you can feel it. You can feel it happening. So there's a choice that you can make to not, especially as the man, that's a choice that you can make to not ejaculate in the woman. There's a choice that the woman can make to not allow the man to ejaculate in her or even have unprotected sex with her. So that, I'm just saying, both parties should exercise as many options on the front end to not have unwanted or unplanned pregnancies. And that way, the abortion thing would be less of an issue. Yes, they should be available for necessary situations. But outside of that, this one of the sad realities is abortion is being used as one of the main means of birth control.
Yeah, and I don't agree with that, and I already know. And let's get this out of the way early. Yes, I'm a man. All right. and what?
Being a man don't mean nothing because you
right.
Look, it took a man to make that baby. So there's 50% of this equation that's being left out.
Right, and so and that's why I said I want to get this out of the way early. Yes, I'm a man, but I do believe men should have a say.
Right.
And whether or not a child is born. It's right. And in particular, a child that is half him.
Right.
Because it's not like we just walking around with immaculate conceptions. Now, if you're going to tell a man that preventing pregnancy and the spread of STDs is his responsibility by wearing a condom, which I absolutely agree it is his responsibility.
Ain't no argument there.
Then when a baby is created, the decision about what to do with that baby is also his responsibility just as much as it is hers. So I don't like the narrative that nobody has a say in whether or not a woman gets an abortion except for her and her doctor. No, you're leaving out a portion. Now, if the man, you know, doesn't care and he abdicates, that's one thing. But if you have a boyfriend or a husband or even just some random dude you fucked that is willing to, able to, and wants to take this baby on, I don't believe you should be allowed to have an abortion in that situation.
You got a decision to make. You got to y'all have to come. Y'all two need to come to a consensus.
Right. I think it's got to be it. Look, in that situation, I will say error on the side of the baby being born. So if the man wants the baby, but the woman doesn't, the baby should be born. If the woman wants the baby and the man doesn't, the baby should be born.
Right.
That's how I view it. Right. And it could be right. It could be wrong. That's my personal belief. But in either situation, both parties have a say. I'm not even getting into the extras of that of, well, if I don't want the baby, I shouldn't have to take care of the baby. That's a whole separate conversation to me.
But that argument there for me should not even exist because you guys should have made better decisions on the front end.
I agree.
100%. Let's stop acting like we don't know how babies are made. Let's stop doing that. I hate when adults act like, even let's say if it's a case of like two 16-year-olds got pregnant, the boy got the girl pregnant, they both 16. And adults, I hate it when adults try to make it seem like 16-year-olds have the brains of 5-year-olds and they're just totally incompetent.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they don't understand what sex is. Like they don't understand how babies are made. Like that. Like they don't have an understand. I'm not saying they have a full understanding, but they have enough comprehension of a lot of things that they do.
Right.
And it's like, you act like you was never 16. Because I asked them, when you were 16, can you make this decision? Because when I was 16, I knew how babies were made.
Yeah.
I didn't understand everything about sex, but I knew if I nut inside a girl, she would get pregnant.
Yeah.
I knew that. Guess what? A lot of other 16-year-olds around me knew that as well.
I can't think of any 16-year-olds that didn't know that. I started having sex around about that time period, and I didn't get a girl pregnant until I nutted inside of a girl. It was just that simple.
I used the condom my very first time because I understood if I don't use a condom, I could get this chick pregnant because I wasn't pulling up.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, but that's the thing, right? You got a lot of dudes, especially adult dudes, and we know them, and a lot of females, that the dudes would be like, I'm fucking this chick, I'm going raw, and I'm not pulling out. We've heard that.
And that, and with the mindset of, I don't want a baby with this woman.
Right, right. We've heard that. Just like I've heard women say, I'm going to let him nut in me.
With the same mindset of not having a baby. That's not how babies are made.
And that's why I say some of us do, but you know, I'm
But it's a I mean, I to me, you know how babies are made. You just don't give a fuck. And you're like, you don't give a fuck until you have to actually deal with the consequences. And I think that's a lot of what's going on.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's absolutely, because I've been like, there's been this, it's interesting about how little attention one side pays to the other when we talk about things like family planning. Because I've been talking to a lot of females and reading a lot of books and articles and stuff that have been saying, you know, family planning is overwhelmingly a woman's responsibility because she has so many different options for birth control, you know.
They call it family planning for a fucking reason. It's not called female planning, it's family planning.
One of the things that I always think is interesting is that these conversations are usually had amongst women with no men in the room. As a young male growing up and somebody that works with young men, the idea that you need to wear a condom because a baby will be your responsibility is drilled into every young man's head that I've ever met. So this idea that men don't concern themselves with family planning, one option, which is a condom, that's bullshit.
If we aren't taught anything else, the one thing we are told is don't bring no babies home.
Right. And every uncle and cool dad is giving their son condoms.
Right. But see, they're not being used, but I say the art of teaching safe sex is a endangered art. Something that's endangered. Safe sex, teaching people about safe sex, teaching people about sex, period, teaching the next generation about good sex. One of my biggest issues is that's not taught. So I give you a condom and I say don't bring no babies home, but I never taught you how to use this condom properly. Because the condom, it's a good chance that condom gonna break because you didn't leave room at the tip of the condom. So I told you don't bring babies home. I told you what to do to protect yourself. I didn't show you how to protect yourself. You put the condom on. You had sex. The condom broke. You nutted in the girl. She got pregnant. Now you're looking at me like condoms don't work. But it was a lack of total education of prevention. And that's my biggest thing. Prevention. That needs to be what we're drilling into the heads. I don't care about other communities. Black people, we need to be drilling prevention into the heads of each other. If I don't want it, I'm not going to put myself in a position to get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think that's one of the, and I just wanted to say that because a lot of the narrative of late, and we're both men, but a lot of the narratives surrounding family planning and birth control act like this is something that men don't concern themselves over and shouldn't have a say in and all these other things. And I'm like, I don't know what type of fuckboys you've been interviewing to get the information that you're getting, but they gave you bad information. Right. Every man I know is just as concerned about family planning as women. And I don't know too many stand-up dudes that'll get a girl pregnant and abandon their child.
Well, I was having a conversation with a young lady the other day, and that's one thing I was telling her. I don't know a lot of men. I don't know a lot of men, period, but especially black men. I don't know a lot of black. I have a hard time thinking of black men that I know who don't take care of their kids.
Right. But that's a narrative that has persisted and gained strength based on a loud, outspoken minority of women who do have baby daddies that don't take care of their kids. But when you look around, the majority of these kids have a daddy that's active and in their lives. He might not still be with their mama, but he's there. And so again, to me, this is relevant because right now the conversation about abortion, particularly in the black community where we do have a lot of abortions, is that's a woman's decision. No, it's not. It's her decision. And the man that got her pregnant, it's a couple's decision. But like you said earlier, the overturning of Roe v. Wade doesn't outlaw abortions.
Right.
It basically says states can now regulate whether or not they have abortions legal in their state. And I understand why Black people would be nervous about that. Typically, states' rights have resulted in bad things for Black people. But the fact of the matter is, that's why we had that conversation we talked about earlier about Black people needing to be more politically active, more politically engaged. The more other question has sound. To be, why the fuck wasn't Roe v. Wade codified when the liberals had control of the government? Why was it that for the last 30 years...
You had 8 years when Obama was in there. Right. Not saying, not putting it all on him, but that the last
because it wasn't just Obama. You had right, but Obama.
That's just the last stretch, though. That
right. Because you had Bill Clinton. You had a number of people that had the opportunity to pass this thing into law so that the Supreme Court couldn't overturn it. And we noted at least those in political power knew it, because every time there was a chance for a new Supreme Court justice to be elected, they talked about potentially overturning Roe v. Wade. Every single time for the last few confirmations that we've had since Roe v. Wade was passed in the 70s. But why was it never codified?
But this is where my mind goes to the conspiracy aspect, and they fucking with us. They fucking with. And when I say us, I mean the total people, but they fucking with people. This is that divide and conquer stuff, because the people on the left who are so angry about this had a chance to do something about this, had a chance to secure it and didn't do a damn thing about it. Then they want to blame Trump, or Trump put the Supreme Court justices on the Supreme Court, this and this and that. Yeah, but it had a chance to be secured and it wasn't. It's, a bird has two wings. And the bird ain't flying without both wings. And those both wings have to work in unison for the bird to fly. Y'all keep thinking left wing and white wing, left wing, right wing are against each other. Y'all keep thinking red and blue are against each other. Y'all keep thinking that this shit ain't one big game. Keep thinking that. That's why the American people continue to lose.
Well, I think on its lower levels, because I do think on the higher levels, I think most politicians have a bit of authoritarian in them. And most politicians...
More so on the people, though, because the people are the ones that are more so divided.
That's what I'm getting to. Because authoritarians are people that tend to be decisive, able to make decisions, able to see a plan and stick to it. And this explains why conservatives, even though they make up less than 25% of the population, control half of the government. Because conservatives tend to be people that are very decisive and people that are willing to go out there and commit and take action. So the question has to be asked, how many of those people that aren't conservatives are simply not conservatives politically in terms of party affiliation because of something in that party that they don't agree with? Not necessarily that they disagree with the idea of conservatism as a whole, but that's a separate conversation. I think we do live in a country where the majority of people are liberals. And so here's the problem with liberals. They don't want to make fucking decisions.
Right. They worry about everybody's feelings.
Right. They are worried. They fine with ambiguity. They're fine with the unknown and uncertainty. They are fine living in these areas of gray, and they are perfectly fine. And then a lot of times go out of their way not to make a decision. And that's why the Democratic Party has been basically rendered ineffective for the last 30 years, because they don't make decisions about anything.
You're trying to be everybody's friend.
Right. And conservatives make decisions about everything. And not only do they make decisions about it, they're firm in their stance. They stand on their decision, and they create a whole narrative around why their decision makes them the good guy, which is something else the Democrats don't do well. They don't create narratives very well. So the Democrats, in my opinion, were comfortable with Roe v. Wade being what it was because it gave them the opportunity to not have to make a fucking decision to pass a law about it. And the conservatives were fine, because it gave them an easy opportunity to go back to the way things were, to overturn this shit. So I think we got to figure, like, we as a community of people have to really look at and understand the traits of the parties that we're backing. But I agree with you from the standpoint of, I think when it comes to elected officials, I don't know that any of those elected officials are truly liberal, if you get what I'm saying. Right.
Yeah. They play the part.
Yeah, that right. I think a lot of them are just playing the game.
Yeah. But, you know, all in all with this, you know, Maxine, there's a video of Maxine Waters encouraging Black women and women to go protest and go in the streets and protest. Now, Maxine, you know goddamn well protesting ain't going to do shit. Protesting is not going to overturn. It's not going to roll it back. And then you got some women, I forgot the white chick. It's an actress chick talking about going on the sex strike. And then you got Joey Bear, whatever, the lady from The View, the show with Whoopi Goldberg, you know, talking about going on sex strikes. Man, fuck out of here with this. First of all, a sex strike not going to work because them hoes ain't stopping having sex. First of all, hoes not stopping having sex, and it's a good number of women who not hoes that don't agree with none of that shit y'all saying and not going to stop having sex. So y'all women can go into the sex strike if you want to, but that's not going to overturn nothing. So the marching in the streets and the sex strike not going to overturn this, right? It's not. It takes real political power and real political positioning. But like you said, once again, y'all should be mad at the blue because the blue had a chance to secure it and the blue didn't. Once again, the blue dropped the ball. But now to turn the page to black people, what do we do as black people? Hey, we don't have to continue with this behavior that's putting us in this position. I understand there are certain situations, there's certain exceptions and certain factors that go into why people decide to have unprotected sex and things, coping and all these things. But just overall, though, there are 32 forms of birth control. People always talk about, well, condoms break. You can use female condoms. Female condoms are stronger condoms, and they actually feel better. Mm-hmm. You can use female condoms, you can use male condoms in conjunction with using the various forms of the 32 to 40 forms of birth control. Right.
Well, they don't call them female condoms anymore. Now they call them internal condoms.
Female condoms, all condoms go inside, but whatever. I mean, I get it, but I don't, because it's going to end up inside of somebody, so it's going to be internal anyway, ain't it? But, okay, the female condom. And then, you know, the forms of birth control, IEDs, different things that you can do. If the person does so happen to ejaculate inside of the person, you have Plan B pills. I don't recommend that. I recommend some of the other ones, but there are things that people can do, especially in our community. We don't have to continue to put ourselves in a position to where we're creating life when we don't want to create life. And then now you enter the abortion debate, because I agree. I don't think this is the full reason, but I do think white genetic, the decline in white genetic births has something to do with this. I don't think it's the full thing, but I do think it's part of that foundation. It's a good chunk of that foundation of the white genetic, the decline in white birth rates. So I do think that's an issue.
It could be. I think, because the abortion debate started as soon as Roe v. Wade happened back in 1973. Mm-hmm. But I think I agree with what you said. If you like, there are ways to have sex and not create a baby. And to be fair to Joy Bayer and the actress or whatever, this was, I think that whole thing happened a couple years ago when people first started, or when it was talking about it, Roe v. Wade being overturned back then. And Joy Bayer said, you know, something interesting. She said, women don't like sex as much as men.
Which is a fucking lie.
Yeah, I was like, all right, maybe you don't like sex as much as, and maybe you're not getting good sex. But
that's a lie.
I, I know a lot of women that'll tear a wall down for some good dick. So what is we talking about?
Hey, in our community, black women have more babies than black men. So somebody does a lot of hunch.
And that's why I was like, all right, well, maybe she's speaking for her generation of older white women. Maybe the older white men they was fucking with, you know. I'm not even gonna say they weren't slanging good dick. Maybe Joy Bayer don't got good pussy. Maybe she don't know how to move her body right. I don't know.
She ain't got no walls.
But I damn sure know that black women in the black community
they like
love sex. So
black people,
not all of them
love sex, right?
But most of them thoroughly enjoy sex. And the argument could be made that they like sex more than
black
do.
Men. Yeah.
So, but that's neither here nor there. Sex strike is stupid, and it was confirmed that it wasn't gonna work by the other women on the show. That was like basically saying, but like not me, right?
Right, right, right. I ain't stopping having sex like you. I understand somebody not having sex with you, Joey, but me, look at me.
So that whole and that goes back to this whole idea about from the movie Chicago, Chirac, the idea that women can use sex to elicit a change in behavior from men.
She cited, she's mentioned, I think she was talking about Tanzania or some African country where the women used the sex strike to overturn the government. And I was like, I don't think that sounds true.
I would have to do research on it, but because I haven't. But I would imagine it was a lot more complicated than a
lot more went into it than just women saying, we're not going to have sex. I mean, if it was really that, they could just kill those women and replace them.
Right, because you know all women ain't going to be on board with it. And even if all of the women in your nation are on board with it, there's plenty of women coming in from other places.
Hey.
Every
nation got hoes.
Right, you're not gonna stop people from having sex, like, and then there are a bunch of women, like even Meghan McCain, who's on the show. She's like, I agree with Roe v. Wade being overturned. Right. Why should I stop having sex?
Right, right. Her and the black lady next to them, they agree with it. So she was like, and she was getting mad enough because it's like the conversation is pro one way and not the other way. So they basically dominating the conversation, dominating the thought process. And she like, hold up now. Even though I hate when they get all emotional, be about to cry for that stuff. But she did have a point. Like, hey, we're not saying we're right, but this is what we believe. But you all can't go around acting like you're right. That's just what you believe. But how about let's be right as black people? How about let's be right about not creating life that we don't want or need to create?
Right, because
how about that?
The abortion argument is an argument that has no right or wrong because it's a moral argument the way we choose to frame it. It's based on what you believe. But what is wrong is for you to create a life when you don't want to. That's wrong.
And you can't afford it.
Yeah, that's simple and objectively wrong. So you got decisions. You could either use protection. Now, if you're using protection responsibly and something happens, alright, because no form of protection is 100%. Alright, but we know that that's not the case in a lot of situations. In a lot of situations, you had raw sex, somebody nutted in you, and now you're running to an abortion clinic. You should not have had raw sex.
Raw sex, and shouldn't have been nutted in. So there it is. There it is. So let's kind of move this conversation along because we talked about different topics and different things that was affected by this by the Supreme Court. Oh, hold up, my bad, wrong one. So another thing that I feel, you know, that does affect us, especially black people, is the Second Amendment. It's saying in the first major Second Amendment ruling in more than a decade, the court said that the law-abiding Americans have a right to carry handguns outside of their home for self-defense. The majority opinion authored by Thomas struck down a longstanding New York law requiring a special need to carry a weapon and put at risk similar laws in Maryland, California, New Jersey, Hawaii, and Massachusetts. So basically, they they're making open carry legal, basically.
Nah. Nah, I mean, control.
We need gun control and people control.
I mean, I get the Second Amendment does give people the right to bear arms, and there is that second part in there about a well-regulated militia, and that's been interpreted by the Supreme Court. The well-regulated militia part has basically been thrown out. But the idea that you can have a gun for self-defense on your person is something that's been long and upheld constantly. And laws that say that in order for you to get a weapons permit, you need to show that you have a need for a weapons permit. It, to me, it makes sense that those laws would be considered unconstitutional. We live in America where somebody could walk into your child's elementary school and shoot them in the face. I think it's been established that there's a need for protection.
Yeah,
where you could get shot in the face grocery shopping. There's a need for protection, and that goes back to this discussion we had when people were getting shot grocery shopping. When you try to outlaw guns, the only people that you're going to prevent from getting guns are the law-abiding citizens that are going to do right with their guns.
Right, right. The fools ain't been following laws, so you changing laws not going to help them because, hell, they don't follow laws.
Right. Now, I get there's been studies to show that making it harder to get a gun lowers the rate of gun violence. I get that. I definitely get that's why I support background checks and things like that. But a lot of this is being driven by the more egregious cases of gun violence. Those cases are not going to stop because somebody had to take an extra step to get a gun, in my opinion. That's my opinion. Yeah.
They will find ways to get the job done.
Right. Right. And my opinion.
I mean, you know, we talked about it before, like, all right, they want to ban AR-15s. Man, I just saw a video yesterday of a double barrel handgun. A double barrel handgun. But I'm seeing Gatling guns being made. I'm seeing handguns being turned into machine guns things. So it's like people know how to modify guns. They know how to build things that they need. So you can ban this, but people just gonna create what they want. There needs to be more people control. Like the gun control needs to be a bit more strict, a bit more regulated, but the people control as well. The motherfuckers who create these guns and using these guns. I mean, I know people hate to hear this, but it's like, I mean, it's real. I know it's a Republican talking point, but it's the people, not the guns. Yes, the gun empowers the person, but the person still has to use it.
Yeah, I think the guns is an easy target. Especially for those that are just looking for something to attack. But the culture is the real problem. And we talked about this before. Conflict resolution, cultural issues, all of these things are real problems that need to be addressed and that are not going to be fixed by banning guns. They're not. Now, again, I'm not saying that making it more difficult to get guns isn't going to make shootings and things less likely to occur. I'm not saying that at all. We've seen the studies. We know that it will. What I'm saying is if we really want to solve this issue, we got to attack it from a cultural level. Not just from a level of thinking, well, if I make it impossible to get guns, then nobody's going to get shot. That's not realistic. That's not what's going to happen.
My thing is, all right, they don't get shot, but they get killed in some other manner. You know, other people have had the argument, well, if they don't have these high-powered rifles, even if the violence does happen, it won't be as many people who die. Motherfucker, we don't want nobody to die. Like it's not about just reducing the number of people who will be killed in the mass shooting. It's preventing the goddamn mass shooting from happening.
Right. That and that's where I approach it from. And even with that, do you know how many rounds you can get off in a handgun quickly? You know what I'm saying? Like in a lot of these situations, the problem isn't that they were able to get off a lot of rounds quickly. The problem is that they had time to do it. And like, we go back to the Uvalde thing with the school shooting. The dude was in the building for an hour. He could have been in there with a knife and killed 30 people in an hour.
Right, right.
The situation with the supermarket thing. I think he was in there for 10 minutes, 15 minutes. You don't need a lot of time to kill a lot of people. The reaction time from the police and the authorities is never going to be fast enough to prevent multiple people from dying from somebody that wants to kill them.
Right, right, right. Yeah, yeah. So, but also, you know, another part of this is a lot of Black people don't own guns. So a lot of Black people aren't, they haven't taken advantage of the Second Amendment right, because they don't own any kind of guns, firearms, or any type of weapons. I cringe when I hear people say that they don't like guns, so that's why they don't have them. And I'm like, you don't like protection.
Yeah, because ain't nobody giving one-on-one fades. Like, I don't know what you think is going to happen if some shit go down. but the government ain't going to, you know, somebody that want to shoot you ain't going to be, you don't like guns? All right, let me put mine down. We can run the ones.
Yeah, I'm going to stab you or something. Like,
That's not, look.
Oh, you don't like guns? Okay, well, give me all your stuff.
I'm like, look, I don't like guns either. Especially not when they pointed at me. That's why I got stuff that I can point back at you. So, look, man, you got to bring missiles to a missile fight. You know, you got to bring guns to a gunfight. You got, look, and if I could get a bazooka, shit, if you got a gun and I got a bazooka, I still win. So I'm trying to be whatever the next step up is that'll make you think twice about fucking with me. And right now, that's having a gun.
Yeah. Yeah. So different, basically making it. Is this basically like nationwide? So more so open carry is more so allowed nationwide, or was this one specific for New York?
No, it was basically those states had passed laws saying that you needed to show that you had a special need for a gun before you could get a permit. Right. So they're basically just overturning those laws. So it's specific to the states that had those laws passed. But in terms of the rest of the country, it's like a notification. You can't pass laws that restrict people's abilities to carry guns.
Right. Gotcha. So another one of these topics that we felt like would affect Black people, of course, you know, climate change and immigration. So we can kind of couple these two together. More so immigration than climate change. What's interesting about immigration is listening to something Dr. Claude Anderson was saying earlier. First of all, you know, Black people in America, whether you want to call yourself ADOS, FBA, whatever, Black people who are descendants of slaves in America, we're not, or never have been immigrants in this country. We built this country. We made this country. America wouldn't be America without us. So we're not immigrants. We're even more American than anybody else. So, but immigration is used to further weaken us and further dilute population of people, getting people mixed up, creating more individualistic attitudes and things. So you have a lot of Black people who, they are still under the civil rights mindset. So they believe that we should support every group of people. And then immigrants come over, and immigrants, you know, if you get a chance to talk to a lot of them, or the right ones, they're told to not mess with us when they get here. So we have the mindset of, hey, open arms, come to the cookout. We don't even know you, but come to the cookout. And they like, we're gonna come to the cookout, but we might take your shit. Because we're too open. We're too open with our attitude about immigration.
That actually makes me think about one of the things that I wanted to say, but didn't, with regards to the show we did with Dr. Neely Fuller Jr. when he was talking about people were invited over. A lot of the laws around immigration, actually, they have a lot of things built in those laws to help immigrants come over, get employment, and get resources to create businesses and things like that. And that's kind of, you know, what he was getting at when he was saying that they were told, come over here, there's a job waiting for you. So I'm saying it now because I forgot to say it then. But in any case, I think it all goes into the same boat even with this. You know, I think Black people have to become a worldwide people. We've got to start studying people all over the world and start understanding really, you know, when these people come into America, what are they doing once they get here? What are their views? What are their beliefs? And how do they feel about us as a people? We got to understand that.
Yeah, we can't just come with the assumption of, oh, everybody's on the Dr. Martin Luther King idea of we're all people and just let freedom ring and judging people by the content of the character, not the color of their skin. That's not the real world. That's not the real world. That wasn't the real world then, and it's not the real world now. Immigrants, just being blunt, they're not our friends. They're not our friends. They don't come with the intentions of being our friends. They got own personal missions, and we sitting there trying to be friends with them. We should be concentrating on our own personal mission. But also, there are a lot of Black people who do support immigration and do support a lot of people from other countries coming in to our own detriment. And, you know, like Dr. Like Neely Fuller Jr. was saying, these people are offered jobs, and not saying 100% across the board, but a lot of these people are given opportunities before they get here. So the idea is they're taking Black people jobs. They're not taking Black people jobs. Them jobs weren't yours in the beginning.
Right.
They've been promised these jobs. But we're supporting this at our own detriment.
I think that goes back to Black people have got to start creating our own jobs. Because if we're and supporting them. Now, and I will say and even to that, like you said, the supporting not just the Black job creators, but the Black people in general. Because I have seen where Black people are in a position to create a job, to create jobs, and they do create jobs, but they create them for white people or for other non-Black people because they're like, well, Black people are lazy, or Black people are this, or Black people are that.
Or I have to show diversity.
Yeah.
No, you don't. No, you don't. you want to be diverse? Show the diversity in different groups of people owning their own shit. How about that? How about don't hire nobody else from another race until you hire enough people from your race? How about that? We got to stop this bullshit. Start operating as a group, man. These people not coming here trying to be our damn friends.
Life is a team sport.
Amen. So, I thought those were the ones that were most affect us, other outside of this last one, the death penalty and religion. But hell, I mean, should we get it? Black people get the death penalty anyway, and religion don't help us like that anyways.
Is really non-impactful to me. The EPA joint, I would emphasize that one only because, you know, that the Supreme Court basically said the EPA doesn't have the power to regulate emissions from power plants, which was a climate protection thing that's now being rolled back. They're basically saying Congress has to pass laws regulating emissions. And if Congress doesn't, and they do want to delegate that authority to the EPA, they have to expressly and explicitly in a law give that power to the EPA. Which they haven't done. So, you know, that is interesting. It's interesting. And on the one hand, a lot of the things that we thought were protections and guaranteed, and a lot of the organizations that we thought had power to do certain things, the Supreme Court is basically saying, no, the states need to regulate this. The states are in control of that. Congress is in control of this. But one thing the Supreme Court can't do is it can't overturn something that's already been codified in law. And so that's one of the things we need to pay attention to here. Everybody's in an uproar about everything that the Supreme Court is doing. The Supreme Court is overturning soft rails.
Right.
If the rails are a big deal, they should become hard rails. Make them law.
Well, once again, that's why I go back to say they messing with us. They messing with people. And that's that divide and conquer thing. Until people realize that, those who control everything gonna continue to control everything. Because everybody, it's like so many people want to be controlled mentally. They want to be ants. They want to be automatons or something like that. So
automaton.